T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, Jordana, the last year we have data, 2017, there were 422 overdose deaths in Minnesota related to opioids, more than one a day.
It's so tragic. This is a true crisis.
It is a crisis, and it looks like Minnesota's on the cusp here of signing a deal into action that could make this state, Minnesota, the first state in the USA to establish a separate state fund dedicated to opioid addiction prevention and treatment. In a minute, we'll talk to one of the sponsors who has quite a story to tell. Okay, thank you, Jor. Late last night, Minnesota lawmakers reached a deal, a tentative deal, that could generate more than $20 million a year in fees from prescription drug makers to combat the opioid epidemic. Again, the House voted 109-25, the Senate 60-3. This bill now heads to the desk of Governor Tim Walz, who is in fact expected to sign it. One of the people who helped to draft this bill, a legislator by the name of Dave Baker from Willmar. Representative Baker, thank you for joining Jor and me today.
It is an honor to be here with you guys today. It's a really proud moment and a proud day for me as a legislator to have such a piece of legislation to talk about. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm happy for you as a father. I'm happy for you as a legislator.
Tell us why this is such a proud day for you, because I don't know that people don't realize that it's not just legislation for you. This is very personal for you.
You're right, Georgiana. This is different. And along with my dear friend, Senator Chris Eaton, who has the same kind of tragedy, we lost two beautiful kids a couple years ago. And Ariel and Dan, I think, are holding their thumbs up pretty high right now for us to kind of see the work we have done as legislators to try to convince our amazing colleagues that asking the drug companies that have been making a lot of money on things like this in Minnesota and all around the country to say we need to charge them more than $235 a year to register and license in the state of Minnesota. And as a small business owner myself, I run a restaurant, and we spend $5,000 on my liquor license. And I think we do that because there's some issues with liquor, right?
Right.
And I think we try to have the same story. And Chris and I, along with Senator Rosen and Representative Liz Olson, we started at the very beginning of this year saying we have got to get this done this year. And this, if you could be a fly on the wall watching us work on this kind of a bill through the bodies, most Minnesotans would be so proud of how the way legislation is supposed to be done. So that is one of the main reasons, too, that I'm so proud of how we worked this through the process.
I know Julie Rosen was also a key part of drafting this legislation, correct?
Yes. She was the lead in the Senate, and what she did last year to catapult this energy towards this session was amazing. But she got it through the Senate last year on a big 60-plus vote as well on the Senate floor.
So this raises money from prescription drug makers to help combat the opioid epidemic. It doesn't get rid of opioids. It doesn't ban them. Where is the money going and how will it help?
So with a reforming of our licensing and registrations in Minnesota, a lot of companies now, all pharmaceutical companies, whether you sell an opioid or not, is going to go from $235 up to $5,000. If you're selling opioids, you're going to give us another $50,000 a year. And if you are a super volume, you're going to give us a lot more than that for a period of time until we hit a $250 million in the state of Minnesota, whether it's through some lawsuit settlements or through ongoing fees. But there's also a sunset on this plan, too, when we hit that number. But we want to get some of this money. We want to give about half of it back to the counties who are really struggling with child out-of-placement issues and care for their families and their parents that are struggling through all this stuff. And so we've got this great advisory council that has been developed. We're going to put into a special account so that It doesn't just get lost with everything else around in Minnesota when everybody's got their hands in the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
We really thought this thing through, and I think it's a very well thought through process that we think is going to do some really good things for the counties, for the tribes, for the places that are hurting the most in our communities.
I wanted to ask your representative to tell us, tell our listeners a little bit about Dan. He sounded like an amazing young man.
And I kind of knew you would do this. And I think for some reason, this last 48 hours has been unusually choking for me. And I don't know why that is, because I've been thinking about this for a long time. But I think there's something about crossing it and knowing that when we as his mom and dad, my wife Mary and I, just didn't know what hit us when he started taking these pills to make his back not hurt.
Right.
And when we did that, we just didn't realize the pain and the strength of these pain pills. And Dan was such a good kid. He loved people, had a lot of friends, did not have trouble with any drugs or alcohol through high school, was a good athlete. And he had to drop out of college when he was a junior at St. Thomas, and things just kind of spun out of control. But he started taking these pills when he was about 19 years old. And when you give a pill to a young person, it's a real problem. But Dan, he's just he's missed every day, and I have a hard time explaining this feeling of a reward system that we have now, because we think we're doing something in lieu of our loss. And I think my wife and I are just so grateful to our members to do this and allow us to be part of this, and for me to be a part of it is just such an honor. So we think Ariel and Dan are pretty happy right now.
I know they are. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your son with us. Where do we go from here? You said there is a sunset on this. I mean, $20 million is a good amount of money. What is the next evolution to fight the opioid crisis?
Well, the key now is to keep looking upstream. We've got a great organization called the Steve Rutler Foundation that have done amazing things with naloxone, and they're training first responders, and they have saved thousands of people that have had a second chance with an overdose. We've got to start looking more upstream to teaching the doctors, teaching our education, educating our kids, making sure that parents know what these are like, making sure we dispose of them properly. But also there's some really new processes of getting people healthy with medically assisted treatments and medicine that keeps people away from and off of that craving that opioids don't let you get released from, because it is such a grab onto the brain. And again, until we really keep diving into this disease of addiction, people are going to keep they're making choices. They must want to do this. They could just stop taking the pills. That was the hard part for us. We have to understand the stigma of this thing has got to be our next big step. And the one thing that, if there's a positive of anything of this opioid crisis, is our society understands addiction a lot better, and our society, our legislators, our doctors, everybody needs to know that this thing got out of control, and we need to keep an eye on it. We need to keep a lot more closer eye on who's doing what, who's prescribing, and our next move is just looking upstream to make sure we don't get like this and help people before they even get started on it.
Well, Representative Baker, all of us, Jor and I, and certainly all our listeners, certainly mourn your loss. We feel for you and your family, but thank you for being a champion, and thank you for working with other legislators across the aisle, too, you know, DFL and GOP, bipartisan support to get this done, and we could not have done it without you, so thank you.
Well, thank you for all the help from WCCO. I've been on this many times, and it's such an important message for Minnesotans. Okay. And we're leading the country on this. I hope we have set a pathway and a mold for others, the states, to follow us, because we need help. So thank you again for sharing our great story.
You bet. Thank you, Representative.
You know, this is such a challenge. The opioid crisis is such a challenge because, you know, it's kids like Dan. It's who had they were an athlete and they had a back problem. And because they're kids, maybe they don't understand that maybe you're taking too many drugs or your pain. Maybe, you know, we should look for a different alternative.
Sure, it is the devil's drug. You take a little bit and then you need a little bit more to get the same effects and a little bit more. It's a slippery slope.
Right.
Before you know it, you're taking fistfuls of this stuff to get the same pain relief and you're hooked. You're addicted. It doesn't take months or years. It can happen in a few weeks. And, you know, many doctors, not all, but some have been prescribing these like candy. Oh,
but
you need another fix?
On the flip side of that, there are people who need these medications.
Absolutely.
And cannot survive without them. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't ban them all.
No.
As an illegal drug, because some people need them to survive.
Yes.
That's why the legislation around this is so tricky. And it's tough. I mean, I'm glad we have Representative Baker and his team working on it. But this is a tough one. This is really a tough one. And it's not about junkies. It's not about, you know, irresponsible people. This is about young kids or grown-ups needing pain relief. So I feel it on this.
So, yes. Well, anyway, thank you to Representative
mm-hmm.
Baker.
That's right.
When we come back, should women get equal pay for equal work, Jordana?
Duh.
I just kind of laid that one up.
Duh.
Want to slam dunk that, baby?
Uh-huh.
All right. More on that in our news nuggets when we come back on CCO.
Whole Foods. Yes, they banned plastic straws. Thank goodness. You know, I'm on my metal straw kick. Hold on. I have a sound effect here for you. That is the metal straw that is in my glass cup.
That's good radio.
Glass, my glass glass. Yeah, there you go. That's good radio right there. So Whole Foods is getting on the whole disposable, non-disposable plastic. It currently offers plastic straws to customers at its juice bars, but will only offer paper straws beginning in July. But they do say for customers with disabilities, plastic straws will be available upon request. So I didn't consider that, but maybe there are a certain subset of the population that can't use paper straws and needs plastic straws. So there's that. Also, Whole Foods will reduce its plastic usage in other parts of the store. Smaller plastic bags in the produce department. I mean, that kind of means we're eating less produce. Don't you want to fill up those bags? But I guess if you're only buying a few apples or a few oranges, you really don't need a giant plastic bag.
So somebody figure this out, please. Invent stuff that looks like plastic.
I know, right?
Works like plastic, but isn't plastic.
And new bags for the rotisserie chickens that use 70% less plastic than the hard plastic cases that they come in. So you know what? Everybody doing their part. We'll get there, friends. We will get there.
Okay, I got
good job, Whole Foods.
I got three mini nuggets.
Ooh, another nugget.
Don't judge my nuggets.
Okay. Well, hit me.
That should be the name of this segment.
Don't judge my
nuggets.
Don't
judge my nuggets.
I kind of want to.
Self-driving trucks are now carrying the U.S. mail. Starting this morning, letters and packages moving between Phoenix, Arizona and Dallas, Texas are traveling on customized Peterbilt trucks run by a company called Too Simple, T-U, Simple.
Well, it's too simple if it can't get out of the truck and give me my mail.
Autonomous trucks. There will be 5 round trips between the two cities. First time that the Postal Service has contracted with these self-driving trucks for long-haul service.
Yeah, but who gets out of the truck to give you your mail? Well, my mailbox is on my house.
A robot.
Oh, really?
No, soon. They still have people, but they're trying to do away with people.
That's not very
saying, they're saying that these self-driving trucks could save hundreds of millions of dollars by eliminating human drivers. But right now, Too Simple has a safety driver behind the wheel for the 1,000-mile trip between Phoenix and Dallas.
Dies.
But they're
going to
do away.
Children get run over.
They're
going to
do away with that. And by the way, the trucks, the automated trucks, are very polite. They use turn signals. They merge properly.
Well, I hope so.
The other thing that caught my eye, Ford is cutting 7,000 jobs. Workers starting today, the elimination of white-collar jobs, about 10% of Ford's salaried staff, part of the automaker's attempt to restructure and trim costs. The cuts will save Ford about $600 million a year.
How come you got to do two in a row?
Well, I just...
Wasn't
it
nice.
Was kind of a command decision.
Oh, okay.
And then equal pay for equal work.
Well, I'll hear you out on this one.
Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, a California Democrat running for president, has a proposal to close the gender gap, the gender pay gap, by fining companies that don't ensure equal pay. Here's her plan. It's called the Equal Pay Certification. If you have a company with 100 or more employees, you'd be required to prove that you are not paying women less than men for the same type of work.
Makes sense.
The Republican National Committee, the RNC, criticized Harris's proposal. Quote, "We don't need to strap new regulations, burdens, or fines on businesses to create opportunities for women." And President Trump's economic record is a testament to that, according to Blair Ellis, press secretary for the RNC, told Fox News. So do we need to legislate this? Do there need to be fines?
Obviously we do, because there's still a gender pay gap, and it's 2019. Yeah. So yes, yes, companies cannot be trusted to be responsible and equitable on their own.
Things
so, yes.
are moving in the right direction, but you would argue, imagine many women would argue it's not moving nearly
fast enough. No, absolutely not.
And, right.
You know, you obviously, this is why we can't have nice things. You can't be trusted, so you're done. So make a law and make it happen tonight. It's not that hard. Give women equal pay. Boom.
Well,
done.
That's
done.
Part of her platform. We'll see.
It's also 5:30. So if you don't get invited to your grandchild's graduation because there aren't enough tickets, do you still give a gift?
Ooh.
Let's Dear Abby that up next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So all over Facebook and all over social media, college graduation pictures happened this weekend. Have you been seeing this as well?
Yeah.
People posting their kid, they're traveling. It's been fantastic
to
see.
We're proud of our kids, yeah.
Exactly. It's been really fantastic to see. So when we saw this Dear Abby question today, we thought, I wonder what you guys would think about this. So I'm going to read it to you, and you're going to give me your answer at 651-989-9226. Dear Abby. For a year and a half, my wife and I have been looking forward to attending our granddaughter's college graduation. When I called my son to discuss hotel and other arrangements, he told me my granddaughter initially was only allowed 3 tickets to graduation, but managed to get 2 more from students whose relatives weren't going to attend. He then informed me that he, his ex-wife, his son, his ex-wife's sister, and the sister's live-in boyfriend will be using the tickets.
And not the grandparents?
Correct.
Oof.
I feel very hurt that the ex-sister and boyfriend got tickets instead of me and my wife. We'd planned on giving my granddaughter $500 for graduation. After this slap in the face, should we give her the $500, which we have given to all of our other grandchildren upon graduation? Signed, Left Out in Florida. So they don't get to go. They don't get to go to the graduation. No tickets for you. And should we give her the present? What do you think? Should they give him the present?
I why take it out on the grandchild? The grandchild had nothing to do with this oversight, this decision. So, yeah, I think if they were going to give 500, they should give 500. Maybe there should be some repercussions with the kids, but not the grandkids.
651-989-9226.
Rise above it, right? Rise above it.
651-989.
Turn the other cheek.
9226.
What do you think, Dan?
Give the grandkid the $500 in pennies and say that mom and dad get to take it to the bank and cash it in.
There you go.
Kid gets the money, mom and dad get the message.
So originally, though, she was only going to get 3 tickets. So I guess that would have been like mom, dad.
Mom, dad, and the brother or their son.
Right, and their son. Right, so like the sibling. So, I mean, the grandparent might not have been able to go anyway. But she managed to score the extra 2, and I think that's where the slight came in.
That's where the slight came in.
But I wonder, do you think the grandparents, it doesn't say, but did the grandparents lobby and tell them that, hey, we want to be there for this?
Or did they call the grandkids? Oh, I see.
Were they just waiting maybe for an invitation, or were they proactive?
Well, we're not privy to that information.
Yeah. But even if that was the case, if you're, you know, your mom and dad are out there, your child's now graduating from high school or college or whatever it is, and you suddenly come up with 2 extra tickets to graduation. The first person you think of is the ex-wife's sister and
the live-in boyfriend.
Really?
No.
Over your mom and dad?
It's rude.
Yeah, that's totally rude. It's a bad decision.
That's
but again, don't take it out on the graduating granddaughter.
Right. So you still give her the cash, especially because you did so for all the other grandchildren.
I like Dan's idea. I like the pennies. Or maybe euros.
Something, yeah. So make mom and dad go figure it out. Yeah, there you go.
So what does Abby say? Abby says, yes, you should give her the money. Although you are right to feel hurt and offended, the blame should rest with your son and not your granddaughter, and she should not be penalized for it. Simple as that.
Yeah, you're a bad person if you pull the $500 away from the grandkid because it's something mom and dad did.
Absolutely
the grandkid isn't
not.
Divvying out tickets. Stop it.
Right. So that's, absolutely. I agree with that.
Do we pass? Wait.
Do we do well?
Get a gold star?
All right. You can always chime in because your opinion matters too, but we are going to move on. 651-989-9226. This one's a little more convoluted. It also involves money. Dear Abby, many years ago, I had a romance with a young girl in a faraway town. After a year, thinking I could do better, I moved on.
Oof.
With the benefit of hindsight, I now realize she stood head and shoulders above all my others, and I had tragically discarded my soulmate. By chance, I ended up settling in the same city as she. She eventually married and raised a family. Now and then we'd run into each other, exchange a few friendly words, a quick hug, then move on. On one of those occasions, she was accompanied by her husband and introduced me as a friend from back in their younger years. Although he was cordial, I could see in his expression, he wondered if perhaps it wasn't more than a friend. In the course of getting my papers and estate arranged, it is clear I have done fairly well in terms of money. I've divorced years ago and have no children. I'm leaving money to a relative or two, some assorted charities. For two reasons, I have decided to leave a reasonably large sum to my soulmate.
Wow.
For one, she was and is perhaps the finest person I've ever known. Second, it's obviously to me that she can use the money. But what happens when this windfall drops out of the sky into their laps? I have no wish to cause problems on their apparently happy marriage in any way, but I cannot help think that despite my good intentions, it might cause a disturbance in the relationship. Am I doing the right thing, and is there a better way to do it? Signed, John Tipton, Jr.
I'm trying to think how I would feel if Lori, my wife mm-hmm. of 35 years, got a big check from some old boyfriend, mm-hmm. some dude I don't know. The spidey senses would go up.
Yep. And then you'd run to the bank.
Well, I could get over that hesitation, but it would raise questions.
Visit the grave, you know, maybe knock on the grave, make sure he's really dead, and then go to the bank. Come on.
It almost sounds too good to be true. No strings attached, really.
I mean, he's dead. It's in his will. Yeah. Guy would be dead. Maybe he's got a terminal illness and he's dying and he realizes that, you know, I have all this money, no one to leave it to.
Yeah.
I really love her.
And now there are new vehicles. He could set up a trust. I mean, any number of ways that he could do this, maybe, mm-hmm. to pass.
So you're thinking maybe find a different way?
Yeah, other than putting a check in the mail, or she finds out about it when they read his will.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. He doesn't know how to do it. Do you have strong thoughts on this?
Or he could quit being creepy
and
donate the money to charity. I mean, there's 1,000 different charitable causes that could use that money just as much, if not more, than she can.
He says that he's going to. He's leaving it to a few relatives and a couple of charities as well. He's doing it.
Yeah.
But he knows the woman, and maybe she needs the money.
Damn.
Maybe they haven't fared as well.
She is his favorite charity.
Well, yes. And that's the problem. That's exactly – she's married. She's got a life. She's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I say charity begins at home. You write that. Yes, the charity. Yes, the relatives. You write
stay
that fat check. You write a note and say you were the one, and I'm sorry that I didn't live my life with you. I just want you to have a happy life with your husband. You explain yourself, and you write that check, and she and new hubby can smile all the way to the bank and cash that check.
I think there's a way to spin this and explain his feelings for her in a way that isn't creepy. Just, hey, I made a mistake.
Why is it creepy to have fallen in love with somebody and then realize they were the one that got away? I don't think it's creepy. I think it's life, because that happens sometimes. And if you're just honest and truthful with kindness, I think you can explain that. Like, why does new husband have to be all freaked out over the dead guy? Guy's dead.
Because guys are clingy and jealous. That's just how we're wired.
This woman's been married to him. They have a family together.
All right,
I mean, maybe he thinks she would suspect that the woman had an affair, but
if the guy can get a new fishing boat out of the deal, maybe some renovations on the cabin, maybe upgrade the vehicle.
Right. That's right. Well, here's what Dear Abby says. She says, ask your financial advisor or a person who will administer your estate how to discreetly pull off an anonymous bequest. I'm sure that person can make it happen. That's creepier. So all of a sudden you get anonymous money that you don't know where it came from? That's creepy. And that's think, for
creepier
the husband,
than,
more suspect.
Then here's, you were the love of my life, and I'm sorry that I never got married to you, but here's a bunch of money because...
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
no.
honest. Because
I feel
honest.
Guilty I didn't marry you.
Yeah.
Not guilty. He just realizes he made a mistake. She went on to have a happy life with the husband.
Well,
he's
assuming that, you know, he made this mistake, like she was going to ready to get married to him.
Right.
Apparently she's doing okay. She's married. She's got kids. She's got
a
whole life.
It's a little presumptuous.
Stay out of her life.
Yeah.
That's
really?
The creepy part. Yeah.
Really? You wouldn't want an old girlfriend to leave you a boatload of money?
Not if I'm married with a whole life and a family. No.
Well, here's a note to all my old boyfriends.
Here we go.
Feel free. I think
you,
my husband
to send
would be
you cash.
Completely secure in our relationship. So if you have a boatload of money to leave, feel free.
Sure. I'd first get a restraining order, and then I'd cash the check.
Yeah. Husbands out there, you need
order.
To call me and tell me that that's where it's at.
All right. That was fun. Boy. Yeah. If only.
I'll be waiting on that
if
check.
Only? Yeah. Run out to the mailbox.
Good problems to have.
Damn. 547 Wicks and Jewelers time. Are you looking for the perfect gift? Visit the experts at Wicks and Jewelers to shop an unmatched collection of jewelry designed to last a lifetime.
So
it's raining, Drew. I predicted that. Look out the Amish Doppler. Look at the raindrops.
I got a text from my son's baseball coach. Yep. That said, the game is still on tonight, Maple Grove.
That's going to
be fun. Maple Grove out in your brother's area, Oscar Maple Grove.
Good times.
And he's bringing a tent for the parents. A tent.
Really?
For the parents. I got to get someone to take a picture of it. Well, I'm actually going to see Van Jones speak over at Temple Israel tonight. Van Jones is a CNN commentator. My husband's a huge fan, so we're going to hear him speak tonight at Temple Israel.
So are you going to go up and say, hey, do you know who I am?
I'm definitely not going to say that. I'm going to say,
don't you know who I am?
My dinner. And
do you like my autograph, Van?
I'm definitely not ever going to.
Did you take a van here, Van, or did you take an Uber?
Now that I would get kicked out.
Try that line.
Security.
Because he's never heard that before.
Yeah, I know. That would get old.
So tomorrow, we're going to speak with an expert on the generations. Gen Z. They're no longer millennials, my friends. Now we have Gen Z to pick on.
Can't keep up with
them.
They
just graduated from college. But what are their expectations of the workforce, and how are they to manage us and we to manage them? Hear that at 4:10.
All right. We'll be here. We'll try it again. Thanks, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.